The Valley is hosting an exhibit of violins that bore witness to one of the darkest periods of the 20th century. The instruments that make up Violins of Hope were played during and survived the Holocaust. The project restores violins from that era. There are currently more than 20 violins on display at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts, and there are events and concerts throughout the month. Amnon Weinstein is a violin maker and restorer, and along with his son, one of the people behind Violins of Hope.
I'm always saying that if 20 years ago, when I done the first steps of Violins of Hope, somebody should tell me that something like what we have today here will happen, I should send him to a doctor.
Weinstein says after the war, people brought instruments to his father, who put them in a closet. In the early 90s, a man visiting Amnon saw them and asked about them. He eventually convinced Weinstein to speak about the instruments at an event in Germany. By the time he got back home to Israel, he was ready to ask people to bring him more instruments. He says he now has more than 70 of them. I recently sat down with Amnon Weinstein and Allison Johnston, project manager for Violins of Hope, and I asked Amnon if he remembers the first violin he got that had been played during the Holocaust and what it was like to restore.
Yeah, this was before the project, 15 years before. A man came over to my workshop and he told me the story that he was one of the violinists who played on the way to the gas chamber. They knew, the players, what is at the end of this road. And this guy have a grandchild, and he wanted that he will play the violin after him. The man didn't touch his violin after the war. Then he gave me the violin, explained to me what happened to the violin and why. And of course, I had to open it. And when I opened the violin, it was full with black powder, and this was the ashes from the crematorium.
Allison, why was it so important to you to bring this to Phoenix?
So there was a number of reasons, but I think, you know, one of the main tenets of Violins of Hope is education. Education for adults and education for students. And especially, you know, in the Valley and in the state of Arizona, there are no standards in terms of teaching Holocaust education. And, you know, some schools may spend a whole year on it with their middle schoolers and their high schoolers. Some schools may spend a week on it. And so we felt that it was really important to bring the educational piece, to use the Violins of Hopes and their stories so that people can relate to that and understand what happened and then apply it to what's happening in today's world.
Do you think that there is something about an exhibition of violins that maybe has a different way of getting that message across to people who see it as opposed to videos or books or movies or some other type of medium?
I think there is. You know, I think because you have something tangible and each violin has its own story. And I think what that does is you're able to relate the violin to the person that actually, you know, was killed during the Holocaust or the person that played it and relate to that and be able to relate on that human level. So I think it teaches a different story in a different way.
Amnon, when somebody gives you a violin that a Holocaust victim owned, like, how do you go about trying to get it to a place where it can still be played now?
There are many kind of violins that we are getting. But the main thing is that all those violins, they've been cheap instruments. There are some very good and very high price also. But usually, when they're coming from the Holocaust, they are in bad condition or very, very bad condition. It's taking all your knowledge because there is no way to do a mistake.
There's no room to make a mistake.
No room to make a mistake because then it's wood. I can tell you, for example, we have a violin here that it took about 1.5 years to restore it.
Wow.
And the end of this violin, it was played in APAC for 18,000 people. So you can imagine the amount of work that you are doing in this instrument. And this is unique. This violin is not like others that I can get 10 like them. This violin belongs to this guy, and he played on it. And I want that this violin will play again. And people will be able to listen to it and to understand sometimes those violin are telling a story that is very, very important.
How do you go about trying to find those stories? I mean, when people bring you a violin, do they tend to know its history, or do you have to do some of the sleuthing on that?
You see, it's different. There are people, families, that they know exactly that one of the family saved because he played the violin in one of these orchestras. There have been a lot of orchestras during this time in the ghetto, in the camp. And they are telling the first time everything. There are violins in the collection with books written on the people there. And there are violins that we learn to identify what happened to the violins during the Holocaust. And all the survivors after the war, 85% of them came to here, to the United States. And the first thing what they've done, if they have had a violin, they're putting it in the attic, and they didn't want to know about it anything.
Terrible memories associated with it.
Exactly. You can imagine somebody is playing, and he can see people are going to the death through his strings, we can say. And then the person is passing away, and people are finding a violin, and they don't know the story. And we have, when we have a violin like this, we are looking like a policeman for the sign, what it is, and then we can identify, let's say, 99% that this instrument, this poor instrument, have seen what he could not understand.
Allison, I'm curious about the reactions that you've seen from people, either kids or adults, who have seen the violins and heard the violins and learned about them. What kinds of reactions do you tend to get?
You know, what's so interesting is that anyone that has seen these violins has just this visceral reaction when they hear the history of the violins and the stories of the violins, whether it applies to their own personal lives or not. It's very impactful. And last night we had an amazing concert, and we had a very fine musician, Steve Mokel, played this Auschwitz violin. And I have to tell you that knowing what this violin has seen, because if you think about it, the violins are like survivors as well, and they have their stories. And knowing where this violin came from, that it came from Auschwitz, and hearing this virtuoso performer playing the violin, I have to tell you, people were sobbing in the audience just because the music was so amazing, and knowing that this violin had such a history and putting the two together, it's really evoking that deep emotion. Whether you had somebody that was lost in the Holocaust or whether you're Jewish or not, I think it really just appeals to the fact that the violin is a survivor and it's still being played today and it's still giving those messages out.
I'm known for all the stress, it sounds like, and responsibility you feel to do these restorations correctly and I guess to an extent do them justice, do the violins justice with your work. I would imagine it must be very gratifying to go around and watch people's reactions when they hear somebody play the violin, or to see a school child ask a question about a particular violin in an exhibition.
I will tell you much more. We are giving the violin to the musician and we are getting it back after the concert. When we are getting it back, we are looking on the eyes, and then I've never seen a dry eye after playing on a concert like that. I think what this project is doing to people is to remind them that the music and the violin survive. The Nazis not survive. Of course, there are 6 million that gone, but this instrument are speaking 6 million.
Allison had mentioned using this exhibition and the violins as sort of a way to not just look at the past, but also look at the present. Is that something that you're thinking about as you're restoring the violins or looking at them or listening to them about some of the stuff going on in the world now and how there might be, to some degree, shadows of what these violins witnessed?
I'm afraid to say that the world didn't learn from all the things. I hope really that when we continue and continue and continue to do this concert, maybe people will be open to the idea that we have to change, that this kind of things can have never happen again. It's very easy to kill. It's much more difficult to heal. And it's much more difficult to continue and to build the next generations.
That's Amnon Weinstein. He's a violin maker and restorer and is one of the people behind Violins of Hope. We also heard from Allison Johnston, project manager for Violins of Hope. The violins will be on display at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts through March 24th. There are other events and exhibits around the valley as well. We'll post a link to the calendar at theshow.kjzz.org.